Our district will be London, and we may even be able to keep a watch and run about in the open when the Martians keep away. Play cricket, perhaps. That's how we shall save the race, eh? It's a possible thing. But saving the race is nothing in itself. As I say, that's only being rats. It's saving our knowledge, and adding to it is the thing. There, men like you come in. There's books, there's models. We must make great safe places down deep and get all the books we can. Not novels and poetry swipes, but ideas, science books. That's where men like you come in. We must go to the British Museum and pick all those books through. Especially, we must keep up our science. Learn more. We must watch these Martians. Some of us must go as spies. When it's all working, perhaps I will. Get caught, I mean. And the great thing is, we must leave the Martians alone. We mustn't even steal. If we get in their way, we clear out. We must show them we mean no harm. Yes, I know. But they're intelligent things, and they won't hunt us down if they have all they want and think we're just harmless vermin. The artilleryman paused and laid down a brown hand upon my arm. After all, it may not be so much we may have to learn before. Just imagine this. Four or five of their fighting machines suddenly starting off, heat rays right and left, and not a Martian in them, not a Martian in them, but men, men who have learned the way how. It may be in my time even, those men. Fancy having one of them lovely things with its heat ray wide and free. Fancy having it in control. What would it matter if you smashed to smithereens at the end of the run after a bust like that? I reckon the Martians will open their beautiful eyes. Can't you see them, man? Can't you see them? Hurrying, hurrying, puffing and blowing and hooting to their other mechanical affairs. Something out of gear in every case, and swish, bang, rattle, swish. Just as they are fumbling over it, swish comes the heat ray, and behold, man has come back to his own. For a while, the imaginative daring of the artilleryman and the tone of assurance and courage he assumed completely dominated my mind. I believed unhesitatingly both in his forecast of human destiny and in the practicability of his astonishing scheme. And the reader who thinks me susceptible and foolish must contrast his position, reading steadily with all his thoughts about his subject and mine, crouching fearfully in the bushes and listening, distracted by apprehension.